We are en route back home after a long and productive and historic Republican National Convention. We just heard President Trump's re-election speech, laid out his agenda for what is coming. Ari Hoffman, this was the climax of the four-day convention. What do you think?
Well, since I've never been to one of these things before, I really have nothing to compare it to. Of course, I've watched them on TV, but being there in person is quite something else. I'll say is that I remember turning to the people next to me. One was young Zach, another one was a friend of ours from Turning Point USA. And I said at multiple points at the beginning, this is brilliant. Why? Because former President Trump went through and told the story from his perspective about what happened on Saturday. And I thought it was absolutely brilliant, and everybody was silent. You're talking about a room of thousands of people, a stadium of thousands of people, and you could hear a pin drop.
When he asked for the moment of silence, you are absolutely correct. There wasn't a single decibel anywhere. You couldn't hear anything. The silence was deafening.
And everybody was hanging on his every word as he told it from his perspective. The speech was brilliantly written because I was watching the teleprompter the whole time. The issue I had, but at the same time it might have been brilliant also, was that he kept going off the teleprompter so much. And that's where he did his stand-up comedy routine. I mean, somebody wrote, what, a 40-minute speech, maybe an hour-long speech, and that turned into, what, more than 90 minutes?
I'm guessing an hour, 40 minutes, yeah.
We weren't clocking it, but at some point everybody says, we love you, you're great, fantastic, we're all voting for you, but can we go home now? And then there were balloons!
Yes.
And then there's balloons! So, John, you've seen a bunch of these before. You've been to a bunch of these before. How'd this one measure up?
Well, the convention speech by the nominee sets the tone for the campaign. And as you said, he started out by saying, I'm just going to tell you the story once. This is what happened from my perspective on Saturday. And it was brilliant, and it was dramatic, it was compelling, and it rang true. And it was impossible not to admire and sympathize with President Trump with what he was going through. I heard not one, not two, four references to God. And that is what I was thinking. You know, the hand of God may have helped save this man's life and kept a country from tearing apart.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And it was clear that at the beginning, you know, I'm watching social media while I'm watching this thing, and the left was saying, oh, he's tired, he's tired, he's tired. I don't think he was tired, because he got stronger and more passionate as it went on. He was building and building. He was getting philosophical.
You don't speak that long when you're tired.
Exactly. An hour long. Joe Biden, when he's tired, he's out. He's gone. It's 4 minutes. See, young Zach was tired. You were tired. I was tired. Donald Trump wasn't tired.
There are at times, to use a phonograph analogy, when Donald Trump is running at 78 RPM, and this was a speech at 45.
Yeah.
Okay. In other words, he just took it down a level.
And then he brought back his stand-up comedy act. And he was getting the laughs. So I went down to the floor. And when I first got to the floor, everybody was just oohing and aahing with their eyes. Mm-hmm. Young Zach was down on the floor. But the problem was, from our perspective, after a while, we're just, we love you, but our feet hurt. But we want to go back upstairs. You know, but we're tired, but we love you. And every time I thought he was getting ready to wrap up, I turned around and looked at the teleprompter. I'm like, wait a minute. None of this is actually even on the teleprompter. There was a point where at the beginning, it was, he'll throw in a little joke here. He'll throw in a little comment. And that was about 20 minutes. And then it was off prompter.
Yeah.
And the prompter just sat there waiting for him to catch up, for him to go.
Now, there was something in this speech that I have not heard in a previous Trump speech since Joe Biden became president. He didn't refer to him. Didn't refer to Crooked Joe. Didn't refer to Sleepy Joe. Didn't even refer to him as Joe Biden. He referred to a failed administration, didn't put his name in front of it. He referred to Joe Biden at one point as the person. I've never heard that before. He was clearly going out of his way not to go ad hominem.
Well, because why would you say Joe Biden when there is a chance that Joe Biden won't be the nominee right now?
Right. A very good one at
and
this
then,
point.
And then, think about this also. If you're just saying the administration, you could say, of course I was talking about Kamala Harris. She's part of the administration. Gavin Newsom has the same bad policies. Pete Buttigieg is part of this mess. I was talking about all of them. He was talking about the left and what they've done to the country.
And by the way, the other thing was very interesting is while he had a much more subdued tone, he hasn't changed any of his positions, and he hasn't changed any of his priorities.
No, they're all exactly the same. But what's amazing to me is his memory. Now, granted, if you or I lived through those things and had a hand in those decisions, I'm sure we'd remember them. But anytime a topic came up, he would just rattle off a story or statistics. My favorite part, and young Zach and I were talking about this, my favorite part was when he put up the graph of the illegal immigration behind him. And you saw how bad it had gotten under this administration.
And let's remember the significance of that poster, of that graph.
Which part of it?
That was the graph that he asked them to put on the Jumbotron in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Oh, right, right, right.
And then that was the graph that he turned to point to, and that's when the bullet that would have hit him square in the head instead whizzed by his ear because he moved, he craned his neck, changed his angle to point to the poster. That's the poster they put on the Jumbotron tonight.
I didn't even realize that at the time. I was down on the floor. I was going different directions. I had Secret Service telling me to move and telling other reporters to move. But I'll say, John, is that Joe Biden can't give an hour-long speech. Joe Biden can't give a five-minute speech while seated in the Oval Office. So you look at this and you go, was the whole point to prove, look what I can do for 90 minutes without even batting an eye? Because, I mean, John, there's an age difference between you and me.
Mm-hmm.
You're tired. I'm tired. Donald Trump is older than both of us by a lot.
So when we left, he was still on stage.
Yes.
He was still on stage.
And there's still balloons. And I'm looking at the balloon drop. Thing's still going on. I don't know what they're still doing. Okay. All right.
Now they're wrapping it up.
Wrapping this thing up. But everybody's gone. And Donald Trump's still on stage. At the end of the day, I mean, the headline is stamina. And Joe Biden ain't got any.
No. And the president has a lot of energy. The president has a lot of ideas. And the president, the important part, has a lot of momentum. The Republicans came out of this convention united. They came out united on issues, united behind the Trump-Vance ticket. And the Democrats are absolutely right now divided over their candidate, divided over their priorities. They literally don't know what to do as we speak.
Yeah. And it's going to be very, very entertaining what happens in the next few days, because if the Democrats are smart, what they're going to do is let the Republicans have the weekend and don't launch any big news on Take Out the Trash Day, which is Friday. And what they'll do is Sunday, you'll hear an announcement. They've already been softening the ground. There's already been leaks to the Newsmax and Washington Post, of all people, that Joe Biden's going to be out of the race. But then the question becomes 25th Amendment. Then the question becomes who's going to replace him. What's going to happen at the convention? And we're going to have a lot to talk about the next few weeks.
Well, that's a very interesting point that you just made, Ari, which is if you're not able to run for re-election, should you be remaining as commander-in-chief?
Exactly.
Should you for the next 6 months?
Exactly. And I think the answer on that is a very, very heavy no. And I think we also have a dangerous thing where now, so a nominee is polling badly. All right, let's just replace him. So the party that says, that accuses the Republicans of ending democracy, of circumventing democracy, they had a primary. They voted for Joe Biden. They did everything they could to make sure they voted for Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to say, okay, you delegates down there who nobody's ever heard of, you're going to pick the nominee.
Let's be clear that some of the Democratic delegates, about 20%, 15 to 20% of their delegates are what you call superdelegates. If you're a governor, Democratic governor, you get to be a superdelegate. You know, if you're a state party chair, you get to be a delegate. And you can vote whoever you want to. But the overwhelming majority of those delegates Are people who are reflecting how the voters decided in the primary or in their state caucuses.
Yes.
They are representing what the voters decided. So they can't just go to the convention and say, I've changed my mind.
Right.
That's, talk about being a faithless elector.
Exactly. Well, John, I'll tell you is that right now, I'm ready to go to sleep.
I'm ready to speak for another hour and 40 minutes.
That's because you're older than me, John. And obviously, the thing that we've proven tonight is that the older you are, the longer you can talk. That is the thing we have come away with tonight.
Thank you very much for a great week. Want to thank young Zach for some terrific production work here. And want to thank Kevin Doddrell back at home base and Big Mike, Mike Seibert, Philip J. Vandervoort III. And, of course, our friend, our honorary KVI reporter.
And don't forget Northgate Rare Coins, because otherwise without them,
Jeff Pogula.
Without Northgate Rare Coins, we wouldn't have even been able to afford the flight. So thank you all very much for that. Appreciate you guys sending us out here and for the awesome Airbnb. So now I have stories for a lifetime of John Carlson waking me up in the morning.
Another reason to tune in Monday morning.